Welcome to Future Creators. I'm Robert Brothe.
And I'm Francis McInerney.
Future Creators, that's future-creators.com, is a self-directed, self-paced program for C-level executives who want to scale their companies profitably in our zettabyte era. Francis is Managing Director of Future Creators, and today we're going to talk about the Hubble Effect. Welcome, Francis.
Hey, Robert. Great to see you. The Hubble Effect, it's interesting. The great astronomer Edwin Hubble came up with what's called Hubble's Law, which is that the further something is away from you, the faster it is moving away. So that if you are looking at stars, for example, and you calculate that they are so far away from you in light years, anything that's further away than that is actually moving away from you faster than the closer star group. And so the question came up, what about the Hubble effect in information velocities? Could we have a situation, for example, where your information velocity is sufficiently slow and your competitor's is that much faster, which means that your competitor is moving away from you at ever-increasing speeds? But more dangerously than that, it could also mean, and this is what we wanted to look at, are your customers further away from you and therefore moving away from you faster, which has an enormous impact on your monetization opportunities? So that's where we started. That was the kind of thinking that has led to a very interesting and new way of looking at industry that we are going to start cataloging in our videos on futurecreators.com. That's future-creators.com. We'll soon put a series of videos out showing the precise mechanics of the Hubble effect on your business. And this is money. So you have to know this, because if you don't, your monetization opportunities will disappear at the rate of the Hubble effect.
Sure. We've talked in previous episodes about the app membranes, and there's three of them. How do the app membranes relate to this Hubble effect?
Well, this is the most interesting part. The cloud consists of three subsidiary membranes. There's the app membrane, the app enablement membrane. An app enablement can include anything from a smartphone to a smart car, for example, or a smart factory. And the app delivery membrane, which is anything that connects the first two membranes. Now, these three membranes all inflate at enormous speeds. And it turns out that companies today grow by managing the interaction of the three membranes. If you look at an Apple or an Amazon, that's all those companies do, manage the interaction of those membranes. And they do it at ever increasing space. So what you have is the phenomenon that we have described in great detail on future-creators.com of cloud inflation and the mechanics of cloud inflation and how that works and how the three membranes inflate with the cloud. Now, the interesting point is that if the three membranes interact, what you have is an interaction envelope, which is the total potential for monetization. If that envelope increases, because the potential for membrane interaction increases, the size of the cloud interaction envelope also increases. Well, what you have then is a completely new information surface, if you like, which covers the interaction envelope. And that is the surface on which your monetization opportunities grow. And if you fail to grow with those monetization opportunities as the cloud interaction envelope inflates, the Hubble effect slams you sideways, because the distance between you and your customers grows at an astonishing rate, and therefore they move away from you faster, and in effect, you're dead.
Let's talk a little bit about that managing the interaction of growth. What can companies do to create better interaction between the three membranes?
Well, this is a great, great question, because this is the space where almost all of the best innovation happens today. If you look at almost all the top innovators in industry, That's all they're doing, managing those interactions. And whether you're in medicine, whether you're in retail, whatever you're in, managing those interactions is key. And what you have to do is understand what the interaction potential is for your company. You are going to have a business development operation that's highly tuned to this and understands what it means. And then what you're going to have to do is start to create business models. Apple was the perfect example of this. Amazon did a good job. Walmart's doing a sensational job as well of creating powerful interaction points and allowing those interaction points to move with the customers. There are an awful lot of companies who did not make this move. They're in the graveyard. Compact computing, wonderful example, gone now for many years. You can look at whole industries, how they've been transformed and disappeared because they were not able to make these interactions possible and did not know how to identify them. Your proprietary interest, as Apple's, is finding the most profitable interaction opportunities for your company. It's vital to your survival.
One of the points you mentioned was really the importance of business development operations. What do these innovative companies that really have transformed their industry done well?
Use their imaginations. Failure of imagination is death in business. When you cannot imagine the potential for three-membrane interaction, you simply can't imagine what your market looks like or will look like. So, for example, let us take the old computer business because it's such a dramatic example. It was unable to envisage what cloud inflation would do to its very structure. So by being unable to envisage what happened, its business development operations were designed to do things like identify a good merger, let's say. Classic example was Compaq buying Digital Equipment Corporation, just under 20 years ago, I think 2001, something like that. Now, when they did that, they were doing something that at the time seemed to me to be buying back in time, almost like going back up the Moore curve. And somehow they thought they were just, improving their portfolio of products. Well, no, you're not improving your portfolio of products if you're not improving your position in the cloud membrane interaction envelope. If what you're doing is improving your position on the cloud membrane interaction envelope, yeah, hey, build your portfolio. Go right ahead. That's what you should do. But when you operate without these mechanics, when you ignore the basic mechanics, as we've identified them on future-creators.com, you have no way of knowing what it is you should do in business development. You're kind of guessing, you're flailing about, you're probably reading some nonsense published by one of those big name consulting houses that thinks they know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And you end up wasting huge amounts of shareholder money. And as you and I both know, the stories of bankruptcies are legion. There have been so many of them.
Speaking of basic mechanics, I think a lot of times with companies, they don't have the right business models in place, nor are they willing to take the risk of pivoting with their business model. And what can they learn by becoming a part of Future Creators and working with you?
They can learn that doing things the way they've been doing is very high risk. It's extremely high risk. And if you don't pivot, your risks go through the roof and the market will pivot on you. So you have to learn how to pivot. It's a vital failure to pivot, failure to understand how the cloud membranes interact and what it means for your monetization opportunities, your future growth, what it means for your customers, where they will go, how they will change, and what you must do to adapt to them. Without understanding that, your risks increase. Our model shows definitively that if you understand the cloud interaction envelope and all of its dynamics, and we've got very detailed rules for each one of them, then your risks go down. Failure to act. Failure to act, the Hubble effect kicks in, your risks go straight through the roof, and your shareholders will be very unhappy, believe me.
Speaking of failure to pivot, we've seen what Uber's been able to do. And what do you think companies can learn from Uber in relation to pivoting and market potential, especially the traditional auto companies?
Well, rule one is pretty straightforward, and that is that all the cloud is access to unlimited computing at marginal cost. So what Uber is the application of marginal cost computing to an entire industry. And in the case of Uber, it's not just the car, the taxi industry, the car driving industry. It's also the car manufacturing industry, because Uber is at the end of a supply chain. And the dynamics of the Uber-type market are such that it alters the entire supply chain of everything that feeds it all the way through the manufacturers, whether it's Ford or Mercedes or Toyota, it doesn't really matter. So the impact of marginal cost computing on an industry structure like automotive cannot be seen simply as something like whether or not cars will be self-driven. You have to begin to look at your information surface. If you're a tier one, tier two supplier in the auto industry, it doesn't matter. You have to understand the full interactions of the information surfaces between you, between the automaker perhaps that you're the OEM you're selling to, between them and their customers. One of the things that you can be absolutely certain will have to go away in order for any of this to work for the major players, the legacy OEMs in automotive, is the dealer. There is no room in a structure like this for an intermediary like a dealer. And that's one of the things that's keeping Apple out of the car business right now. There is no way that you can today, by law, sell a car. You can sell a computer, you can make a computer like Apple does, and you can sell it directly to customers. But if you're a Ford Motor Company, you cannot sell a car. You are required by law to have intermediaries. This means that the entire potential for three-membrane interaction is being artificially constrained by some very foolish ideas that date back over a century. And until these barriers are broken, the car industry is going nowhere. And it doesn't matter whether the car industry says we're going to be electric or we're going to be this, we're going to be that. It's the three-membrane interaction and applying it to your industrial structure. That's the key.
Last question for today. Intermediaries, as you mentioned, in some industries are a natural part of the process and actually can be beneficial. So maybe share a little bit about how a company like MM and Amazon or an Apple can use intermediaries, but to their benefit and not to their demise.
Yes, that's a great question, and I deal with that a lot. It has to do with market access and customers. There are certain cases where the size of market is often too small for a major player to operate effectively. It can be that the type of market is far too specialized. Now, typically with app enablement and apps, a lot of those problems go away. So increasingly, for example, Apple can sell more and more and more directly, and it doesn't have to rely on intermediaries. But there's no question that for many applications, intermediaries are required because they add value. And they add value not just by being there to sell, they add value by literally adding value, software, apps, etc., packaging to the product. So there are plenty of places where intermediaries are extremely valuable. The point is that the old days of the intermediary like Sears are clearly going away pretty quickly in the case of Sears.
Francis has been future creating since 1976 and has seen it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Make sure you tune in to our next podcast, and don't forget to visit us at future-creators.com. Make sure that you determine outcomes and don't get run over by them. Thanks, Francis.
Hey, thanks, Robert. See you soon.